live stream services here Wednesday evening at Fellowship Baptist Church. Thank you for taking time out of your day to join us, me and Tracy here, by way of live stream. I want to invite you to open your Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. That will be the text this evening, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And before I give you the message that God's laid upon my heart, I do want to give you a few announcements, a few prayer requests, and you can help us pray for our church family. Obviously, this is not the normal way that we meet on Wednesday night, and so do pray for much in our church family. First of all, pray for the Weimer family, especially for Miss Julie, William, and Alex. Julie's mother, Joan, passed away early on Monday morning. She was having some heart issues and went into cardiac arrest Monday morning and went home to be with the Lord. So we certainly need to pray for the Weimer family, lift them up in prayer, pray that God would comfort them, give them grace in this time. Pray for William and Alex as well. Much sickness going on in our church, and obviously it's one reason why we're coming to you by way of live stream tonight. We wanted to give some people time to get over the sickness and be able to sanitize things here in the building. Lord willing, we will be back here on Sunday morning, so make plans to be here with us normal time on Sunday. But do pray for much in our church family that are battling sickness of various sorts. Continue to pray for little Ellie. Pray for Marcus and Kirsten and Carter as well. I know Ellie had a rough day on Monday, but you just continue to lift them up and pray for Marcus, Kirsten, the family. I know they will certainly appreciate that. Pray for our teens. Our young people are away at youth conference in Raleigh, North Carolina. And so I talked to Pastor David just a little while ago, and they arrived safely. They were getting ready for church. And so pray that God would use the preaching of his word to do a work in the hearts and lives of our young people, bring them back revived and ready to serve God with their life. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I'm sure there's many requests that you could share. If we can be a blessing or help you pray, drop something in the comment section or send us a message, and we'll be happy to help you pray about the burdens upon your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, I'm going to read verse number 1 through verse number 4 and share with you the message God's put on my heart for this evening. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Let's ask God to help us tonight as we preach his word. Father, thank you for the privilege to preach your word, and Lord, even to gather in this fashion by way of live stream internet. God, I pray that you would settle down now in living rooms and in this building, and I pray that you would give liberty for your word to have free course and to penetrate hearts. Lord, I pray that you would do the work that I cannot do. Father, I pray that you would take your word, and I pray that you would meet the needs of your people tonight for the glory of God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, obviously, I've shared with you some of the state of families of Fellowship Baptist Church, a lot of sickness, a lot of grief, a lot of sorrow going on. And so as I began to think about that, as Pastor asked me to preach tonight, almost immediately God directed my attention to the book of 2 Corinthians. It's a book that speaks much of suffering. It speaks much of ministry. Paul, over and over again, is giving instances where he is hurt, he is suffering, but yet God is still using him in those times to minister to people. And so I just thought about how many people that we have around us today in our church family that are hurting. And so I'd like to preach with the title of Comfort in Crisis. Comfort in Crisis. And so tonight I'd just like to simply ask some questions along the lines of comfort. Where does it come from? Who gets comforted? Why do we get comforted? And how is it that God comforts his people? And so I just want to share some simple truths with you from God's word that I pray will be a help and encouragement to you. Number one, I'd like to ask the question, where? Where does comfort come from? And the first statement I'd like to make is this, is just simply God comforts. Notice, if you will, what the Bible says in verse number 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and notice, and the God of all comfort. I'm glad that I know who the God of all comfort is. The Bible says that we serve a God who has a monopoly on comfort. And I thought about this. In our world, in our society, people are searching everywhere for comfort, for peace. Our world is in turmoil. Our world is constantly in one crisis after another. And people turn every which way to look for comfort. Some are in ways that are heinous and sinful. Some turn to drugs and alcohol to try to comfort their heart, comfort their mind, comfort their pain. Some turn to these things to try to forget about the pain that they have. And other people try to drown it out in other ways. And, you know, other people, they may maybe try to use more wholesome things as family or maybe comfort foods. Some people eat to make themselves feel better. Some people spend money to try to make themselves feel better. Some people have a heartache because of a bad relationship they're in. So they think that, well, if I just hurry into another relationship, that'll give me the comfort that I'm looking for. And so all around this world, and even in the church, people are brokenhearted. People are hurt everywhere we look. And they're looking for comfort in all of the wrong places. The Bible says here in verse number 3 that our God, the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, He's the God of all mercies, and He's the God of all comfort. That means there's no lasting comfort, no real comfort anywhere else in this world. No matter where you turn, no matter where you look, you'll not find comfort in any other place, any other person outside of the God of heaven. And so I'd just like to direct your attention, direct your heart, your mind to the God that loves you tonight. There's a God in heaven. I don't know what situation you're in. I don't know what you're coming through. I don't know the condition of your heart. There's a God in heaven who is the God of all comfort, and He wants to comfort you tonight. Now, the child of God ought not look the same places that the world looks to find their comfort. The psalmist said in Psalm 121, verse number 1, he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And he wasn't talking about the hills, because in the next verse he says, my help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's where our help comes from. It doesn't come from vacations or anything physical or material. Our help comes from the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalm 46, verse number 1, the Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That means right now, tonight. God is a very present help in whatever situation you find yourself in. He's there. He is a God that offers real, true, lasting comfort. You see, in a lot of the other situations we mentioned, people try to find counterfeits for the real thing. They try to find counterfeit comfort in money or in things. And many times it only leaves them in a worse state. It leaves them wanting more. It leaves them hurting even more than when they began. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that can give us comfort that satisfies, comfort that's real, comfort that will be like a balm, be like a healing to our soul tonight. And so the psalmist also said, David said in Psalm 23, verse number 4, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now that's a dark place. But he said, I'm walking through there. He said, I will fear no evil. Why, David? For thou, God, art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm thankful tonight that we have a God who comforts. Now, I know I'm not telling you anything new tonight. Most of you that are listening, you're churchgoers. You go to church here and you know that there's a God in heaven that comforts. But we ought to be like Paul in verse number 3 and say, blessed be God. Let's praise Him. Let's worship Him. He's worthy tonight because He's sufficient and He satisfies and He gives the comfort that we need exactly when we need it. So praise the Lord for that. Number one, where does comfort come from? It comes from God. God comforts. Can I ask you a question? Where are you looking for comfort? Where are you seeking your comfort from tonight? You're heartbroken. You're disappointed. You're going through that valley. Maybe it's the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe death has crept into your family. Maybe sickness has came into your family. Maybe financial hardship. Maybe physical issues have came into your family. Can I ask you tonight, where are you looking, or who are you looking to bring comfort? There's only one satisfactory answer, and that's God. God comforts. Number two, second question tonight is who? Who does God comfort? Who does God comfort? Now, our first statement was God comforts. Let's add to that statement, let's say this, God comforts hurting people. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? God comforts those that are hurting. There's been times in my life when I've been heartbroken. There's been times in my life when I've been disappointed. Times in my life when I've been hurt. But I'm glad I can report to you tonight. I can tell you tonight, there's a God in heaven who's the God of all comfort. And He specializes in comforting, hurting people. And no matter where you are, no matter where you, what you're going through, where you've been, or where you're going, God's able to help and comfort hurting people. Notice, if you will, verse number one, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. He's speaking this to a local church, church people like us. But then notice what he said. With all the saints which are in all Achaia. He said, this is not just for that local assembly. I'm giving you a message which is good for all the saints. And so maybe you're tuning in tonight and you're not a part of Fellowship Baptist Church, where I'm here to tell you that if you're saved in the grace of God, you're part of God's family, you may be going through troubled waters, you may be sailing on a stormy sea tonight, but there's a God in heaven that has you in mind. And Paul says here, I'm writing to this church with all the saints, verse number one. Verse number three, he mentions the God of all comfort. Emphasis on that word all. And then notice in verse number four, he says, who, speaking of God, comforteth us in all our tribulation. Who is it that God comforts? He comforts hurting people. Those that are in all, he comforts us in all, the Bible says, our tribulation. Notice, if you will, these words that pop up. Verse number four, our tribulation. And we may be able to comfort them which are in any, look, trouble. Notice verse number five, for as the sufferings of Christ. Verse number six, and whether we be afflicted. I don't have to define those words for you. I believe that you get the gist of what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell us tonight. There's people that are hurting. And these trials and these tribulations, these sufferings, these afflictions, they take on many faces, many forms. They could be material loss. It could be physical hardship, mental hardship. It could be emotional hardship. The trials that we go through are multifaceted. Manifold temptation, the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter. But the Bible also talks about in that book that God has a manifold grace for that manifold temptation. Tribulation, trouble, sufferings, affliction, trials take on many forms, but regardless, God is the answer. He helps hurting people. I was reminded of the words of a song my wife and I listened to as we were traveling yesterday on our way back from South Carolina. Our youth choir sings it. It's called There Is a Remedy. And I'd like to share some of the lyrics of that song with you. The song says, for the world that's lost in darkness, for the saint who's gone astray, for the sinner blind but searching, for the child in need of faith, for the homeless and forsaken, for the hungry and the cold, for the prisoner and the captive, for the young and for the old. The second verse says, for the bitter, for the lonely, for the weary and afraid, for the burdened and frustrated, the discouraged and dismayed, for the mocked and persecuted, for the battered, for the wronged, for the scarred and for the wounded, for the weak and for the strong. I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe the song just described what you're going through. The chorus says, there is a remedy for every sin-sick soul. There is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. I'm not sure what you're going through tonight. I'm not sure what your trial looks like. I'm not sure all the details, but I'm sure of this. There's a God in heaven who comforts and he comforts hurting people. Now, we could end the message right there and have enough to encourage our hearts until Jesus comes home. I'm thankful that I know who that God is. I'm thankful that I have a relationship with him. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. He's the God of all comfort, and he comforteth us in all our tribulations. See that phrase again in verse 4? Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. And there's not a period there. There's a comma. And so the next truth I'd like to share with you, I'd like for you to listen up. Because if we get a hold of this truth, it literally could change our life. And it's not because I'm the one that's saying it, it's because it's the Word of God. And the Word of God has the power to change our lives, has the power to mold us, to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And so the third question I'd like to ask tonight is not where do we find comfort or who gets comforted, but number three is why. Why does God comfort? Well, you say, well, that's easy, Brother Brandon. God comforts because he's a good God. He's the God of all comfort. That's just who he is. That's what he does. And I'd have to agree with you. Absolutely, he is a good God. But our text says otherwise. There's another reason why he comforts. There's a reason why God is allowing you to go through that storm you're going through tonight. There's a reason why you're heartbroken. There's a reason, there's a purpose why you're disappointed. There's a reason why you're on the brink of bitterness tonight. God has a plan. God has a purpose in that pain for you tonight. So why did God allow that to happen? Why did God allow that loved one to get sick? Why did God allow you to go through that disappointment? Why did God allow all those circumstances to come crashing in on you and break your heart? Why did God allow that to you to happen tonight? Well, I'd like to share with you this. Why does God comfort? It is not to erase the hurt, but it's to enable the hurting. Did you get that? God does not comfort us to erase the hurt. He comforts us to enable those that are hurting us. So when I'm going through pain, many times my prayer is, God, take it away. Sometimes he does. Praise the Lord. Sometimes he delivers us from the pain. Sometimes he pulls back the stormy clouds and we can see the sun shining. Praise the Lord. But can I tell you, it's not always God's design to do that. Sometimes, instead of God erasing our pain and erasing our hurt, he wants to enable us for ministry. He wants to enable us in our pain, in our hurt, to do something. Now, what is it? Notice if what the Bible says in verse number 4, who, speaking of God, comforteth us in all our tribulation, that, there's a purpose. Why? That we may be able. There's an enablement, enabling going on here. God wants us to be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So there's a God factor, there's an us factor, and then there's a them factor. Now, I don't know about you, I just got to be honest with you tonight. Many times when I'm going through a storm, and I'm going through a valley, I get really selfish. And I don't think there's anything wrong with praying for yourself. I hope there's not. And we pray, God, I need your help. God, I need comfort. God, I need some answers. God, would you help me? But can I challenge you with something tonight? And I believe it's scriptural. Could I challenge you to start developing a mindset of, when I'm hurt, when I'm going through that trial, maybe it's not me necessarily that needs the attention. Maybe it's them. Maybe it's somebody else. See, notice carefully the wording again. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them who, which are in any trouble. You say, well, who should I be helping? Well, take your pick. Anybody that's in trouble. So God has a purpose. God has a plan. He has designed it to when you and I go through these difficult times in life. He wants to comfort us in our tribulation so that we would be able to help others. So remember our statement from the beginning. Number one, God comforts. And then we said, God comforts hurting people. And then we want to add this phrase, God comforts hurting people to help hurting people. God comforts hurting people to help hurting people. Experience opens doors and also brings responsibility. You see, when we go through things in life, we go through troubled times. The Bible says tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And God wants to use those experiences that He's brought us through to help be a blessing to somebody else that's hurting. And so the challenge tonight is, yes, we're hurting as a church. Yes, you're hurting as a family. Yes, individually, there's pain in your heart, and there's a God in comfort in heaven who can comfort you, who can meet that need. But there may be a purpose also. There may be somebody that God's put in your life that you can reach while you're in this state that you would not be able to reach if you were not in that state. You see, God has a way of using broken things. God has a way of using hurt things, weak things, to show forth His power, His strength, so that He gets the glory. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, if I'm able to be a blessing to somebody when I'm hurt, well, I don't get the glory for it. God does. And so I want to challenge you with that thought tonight. Now, I want to ask you this. Who have we missed? I wonder who God is put in our path tonight. Who has God put in our life that's hurting? You say, well, Brother Brandon, I'm the one that's hurting. Well, sure, and I'm not belittling that. We go through real trials. Paul, some writers, commentators say that Paul had just came through the darkest period of his life. Now, I don't know, it's a pretty bold statement, but Paul had been through some pretty rough stuff if you read through this book. And in all that, God is using him to be a blessing to somebody else. He's planting churches. He's preaching the gospel. And so, may God help me when I'm praying for God to send me the comfort, to realize that if and when He sends it, that it's not just an end in itself. There's a purpose. God wants to use that comfort that He's given me so that I can take that experience and be a help to somebody else. And so, think about your situations. And take a few moments this evening and think about who is it that God's put in your life. Maybe you've been through hard times in your family. Well, who is it that God has put in your neighborhood? Maybe somebody that you work with. Maybe someone you go to school with. And they're going through a hard time in their family. And God could use you while you're going through a hard time to be a blessing to them. Maybe physical issues. Maybe you've battled with them for years and years, and God has given you strength and God has given you grace. I wonder who God might put on your heart tonight that you could be a blessing to. Who comforteth us, verse number 4, that we may be able to comfort them. Several months ago, my brother passed. And many in the church were a tremendous blessing to me that time. But there were a few of you. You had walked in my shoes. You had been where I was walking. And you were able to share that experience with you, how that God had given you grace and that God had helped you. And can I just tell you that my ears perked up a little bit more when you were sharing your testimony of God's grace with me. God used you in that trial to really be a blessing and a help to me. And I was hurting at the time. And so God can use us when we go through these difficult times to be a help to other people. Last question is this. How? How does God do it? Right? Where do we find comfort? We find it in God. Who does God comfort? God comforts hurting people. Why does He do it? God comforts hurting people to help hurting people. Well, how does he do it? Notice, if you will, verse number 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Notice, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now think with me. If God is going to use me to help somebody else, ultimately, where's that comfort going to come from? Well, verse number 3 says it's got to come from God, because he's the God of all comfort. And so if God is going to use my suffering, my pain, my trial to be a blessing to somebody else, he's going to have to do the work. And so the Bible says here that if I'm going to do what God wants me to, it's got to be, notice the last phrase of verse number 4, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God wants us to be a channel, not a reservoir. When God gives us comfort, he wants us to channel that comfort to others. I'm reminded of Romans 11:36. For of him and through him and to him are all things. You see, God wants to bring comfort down to us, but not just to us, but he wants to bring comfort through us to someone else. What you and I have to understand is, wow, what a privilege that we have tonight. There's something powerful going on. When I'm in a valley, when I'm in a storm, when I'm hurt, when I'm heartbroken, man, there's something divine going on. There's a power, there's a strength from God. That's what the word comfort means. It means to strengthen, to enliven, to invigorate, to encourage. And that strength, that comfort is coming down from God in and through my life to somebody else. Now, this is not a fairy tale. This is real. God can use my brokenness to be a blessing to somebody else. And so what's implied here, I believe, is that we must be filled with the Spirit. We could call the lesson Spirit-filled suffering. Suffering well. The right way to go through trials. You know, there's a right way and a wrong way to deal with difficulty. And God, even, listen, no matter how hard life gets, God wants us to walk with him. God wants us to be filled with the Spirit so that when we're broken, when we're hurt, that God's Spirit can work in and through us to be a blessing to other people. The blessing is transferred through the brokenness. Notice again verse 4, who comforteth us, next word, in all our tribulation. Not out of. See that the emphasis is not God's going to bring you out of trouble. The emphasis on the text is God is going to help you while you're in trouble. And while you're in trouble, he wants to empower you to help somebody else. You see, a lot of times this is our mindset. I'll start helping other people as soon as I get my life on track. Well, as soon as I start feeling better, as soon as I get all of my ducks in a row, as soon as this, as soon as that, and it'll never happen. Listen, we live in a fallen world. We got a sinful nature. It's going to be one trial after another. So we have to learn how to serve God and minister to others in our tribulation, in our brokenness, because God wants to transfer blessing to somebody else through our brokenness. And so the last phrase is this: God comforts hurting people, not just to help hurting people, but God comforts hurting people through hurting people. Several illustrations that we could give. Samson. Man, what a strong man. God used him. He used his might. He used his strength to conquer many enemies. You know when God used him the most? When he was weak. When he was the weakest he had ever been, the Bible says that Samson, you know the story, how that God used him to slay the multitude of the Philistines there after they had plucked his eyes out and Delilah had chopped his hair off. God used him in his weakest moment to slay more enemies in his death than he did in all of his life. How many opportunities tonight do we miss because we're waiting on things to get better? We're waiting on the clouds to part and the sun to break through before we get busy serving God. Paul, chapter number 12, talked about a thorn in the flesh. And he was saying, God, take it away, remove it. And God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, Paul, I wish you would understand that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And when Paul got a hold of that truth, he said, most gladly, therefore, would I rather suffer reproach. He said, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God, if that's what it takes for your power to be at work in and through my life to help other people, I'll do it gladly. Later on in that chapter, he says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. The more affliction I endure, Paul said, you know what? Just the more grace, just the more comfort God's going to bestow upon me so that I can bestow upon you. Wow. It's convicting. In our same book, chapter number 9, verse number 8, I read this verse or quoted it at our candlelight service. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You know what that is? That's this principle in action. Jesus Christ exemplified it. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Now I wonder who God wants to make rich through our poverty, through our trial, through our tribulation tonight. No doubt, many people are hurting. So I have a word of comfort and a word of challenge. The word of comfort is, I'm glad that I know the God of all comfort. And I'm glad that he comforts hurting people. And I don't know exactly what you're feeling and all the details of your storm. But can I just draw your attention tonight to the God that loved you enough to send his son to bleed and suffer and die in your place? He loves you. He wants to hear from you. The Bible says we can cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us. And I'm thankful for that truth. That's a word of comfort. But then a word of challenge is this. May God help us not to only pray for that comfort so that it can be an end in and of itself in our life, but so that we can in turn take what God's doing in us and direct it to a hurting world all around us. People all around us every day. They're searching, they're hurting, they're heartbroken. And God has called us in our hurt, in our heartache, to help make a difference. And so may God tonight help Fellowship Baptist Church and those of you that are listening by way of live stream. May God enable us in our hurt to be a help to others that are hurting. Please do continue to pray for your church family, in particular the Weimer family. Do remember our services this Sunday. We'll have Sunday school at 9:45, preaching at 11, Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock. Do pray for one another. God bless you. Have a great evening.